And good morning, everyone. It's so good to be here. Maybe I could teach you a little bit of sign language. And that way, when you see a deaf person in your community, when you meet up with a deaf person at the mall, you can say hi to them. This is good. This is good. The sign for good. This is morning, the sun coming up. Good morning. That simple, okay? Pretty easy. Now, you also can say to them, how are you? That's bringing your hands. How are you? I'm going to get you to do it with me. Come on, you preachers, follow me. How are you? I'm fine. That's how you say fine. That's simple. Very simple. You can learn a few signs. And that way, if you see a deaf in your community, this is how we say hello. We actually salute to say hello. So I'm encouraging you to communicate. Learn to communicate with the deaf folk in your area. That way, when you meet them, you can invite, come visit our church. See on the rock, that's the church. And so, if you'll, how many of you know sign language here? You know a little bit of sign language? Pastor, you know a little bit? Okay. And that's good. But I encourage you, if you're here, learn a little bit of signs so that you can have outreach to the people of your community that are deaf. A lot of you are saying, you know, I have never heard a woman's voice in our church before preach the message. That's my wife's voice. I'm sorry I have to use that. You know, I was preaching in Cleveland, Ohio, and at Cleveland Baptist Church there, and the pastor asked me to preach, but he didn't realize my voice. I said, I can't talk when I preach. I have to use my wife's voice. And so I preached. When we finished the church service, the next morning, Monday morning, people began to call the church office, and they had heard a woman's voice on the radio and thought they let a woman preacher come into the church on Sunday night. But they had to explain again and again that it was just reverse interpreting for me. I thank the Lord for my wife and that we've been able to work as a team for many, many years together, working together. Missionaries to the Deaf. We've been missionaries to the deaf since 1981. We came with Baptist International Missions, and God has used us since to start deaf ministries and work among the deaf. I also want to thank Pastor here for inviting us to be at your camp meeting. This is a first for us, and I thought that we were going to be in a tent or something outside, a little bit fearful. I'm so glad we're in the church building, but it is a camp meeting regardless, isn't it? And so I pictured when he said camp meeting, I thought we were going to be in a tent. But we're so glad to visit the church here and be able to come. The Kentucky group, or the group from here, several people came to our campus, and they brought an evangelist. His name's Melvin, I believe, and we're praying for his heart condition, but what a great man he was. He walked on the roof like it was nothing. I don't even know how he got up there, but he was walking up there and on the roof, and I thought, you know, I was like, take it easy because of your age. Scared me a little bit. You worked on the roof too. Scared me a little bit. This guy, he's not the youngest guy, but he's on the roof just like it was nothing. And I'm not like that anymore. I don't get on the roofs like that anymore and walk around. But I saw them up there. It scared me a little bit. They did an awesome job. I want to tell you, it's one of the best teams we've ever had come to our campus. And we had people all over. The wives were helping cook and do flower beds. It was a blessing. Just their group from Kentucky that came. We just had a great time, a good week. They stayed for 1 week. We enjoyed them. We want to do it again. And so we have a lot of projects that are being done on our college campus. Realize we have college dormitories on the campus. We have about 10 acres and about 20,000 square foot. A lot of buildings, but a lot more to be done. Our goal is to put some high school dorms on the property or on the property that we've gotten. All across our country, your children have the opportunity to go to Christian schools. We are the only Christian school for the deaf in America. And so because of that, people want to move in and put their children in school. They want to send their children, so we need dormitories for those children. If you'd like to bring your group as a pastor. We'd love to have you. We have 8 weeks during the summer where we just focus on the work on the campus. We provide a place for you to sleep, and we'll feed you if you come. But if you're skilled carpenters or electricians or plumbers, we'd love for you to come and be a help to the ministry there, Harvest Deaf Ministries. I want to also say thank you for providing for us the hotel and everything. I knew that this church was Baptist, though, when I got to the cafeteria and you saw that fried chicken. You know it's Independent Baptist when you see fried chicken on the night for dinner. And so Dr. Lee Robertson, and a great hero of mine, Dr. Lee Robertson, I went to school in 1973 to Tennessee Temple, and every Sunday throughout my college years we had fried chicken. Every Sunday. That was a requirement from Dr. Robertson. There was no other way about it. There had to be fried chicken. And I go to church and I eat fried chicken, I think about Dr. Robertson, and he is my hero. So I just think about him and his influence on my life. Dr. Lee Robertson has gone home to be with the Lord, and oftentimes when I think about ministry, my ministry and serving the Lord, I constantly think of his theme, everything rises and falls on leadership. That causes me to look at my heart, my life. God's called me to lead in the deaf ministry. I have a responsibility to hold this ministry. Everything rises and falls. If the ministry would fall, it would be my fault. And so God's taught me responsibility from what I learned under him and his ministry. I was involved with the bus ministry. I was involved with the deaf ministry there, involved, and involved with the choir, just like these kids are singing. I sang and traveled with the choir, but I learned ministry there at college under Dr. Lee Robertson, his leadership, his motivation, his desire, and his compassion. And seeking his life, understand that's where I went, that's where I learned, and that's what molded me. I was thinking this morning about the message that I would share with you, and I'm going to just ask you as ministers this morning if you would be willing to help us reach the deaf. There are deaf people all over the world, and all these flags represented have deaf people in those countries. And I ask myself often, how are we going to get the word of God to all these deaf people? These are people that can't hear from regular missionaries going into the countries. There are not schools provided by them for the missionaries going into these countries. And so I often ask myself, who's going to go? Deaf people all over the world, in my vision, are saying, come over to us. It's a blessing to see the choir. It's even a blessing for me to see the choir this morning, because every one of these kids have surrendered for full-time service. Last year we had three of our high schoolers, Rachel and Diego, and just recently Hannah graduated from high school. These are three of our high schoolers that graduated, came right into the college for training. Understand, the high school and the Christian day school, we have about 35 to 40 deaf students in the day school. Well, see, it's so excited to train them, bring them up from high school and have them come right into the college. Do you know what that means and how exciting that is to see them get ready to serve? But I want us to look this morning in the scripture. As we look in the scripture, I want to explain a little bit to you to cause you to realize that God gives vision to people. Now, I'm not talking about a dream as is in the scripture here with Paul, but a heart dream, a heart vision for other people. So do you have a heart vision this morning for other people? Last Friday, a week ago, we got some bad news. We heard that one of our deaf women, Kimberly Kassinger, was walking late at night on the road. She was hit by a hit-and-run driver, sent her body through the air. She fell on her head, had stitches all in her head, both of her legs broken, vertebrae hurt. Went to the hospital to see her. She has rods in her legs now. She lays and she's just completely immobile. And the one thing that bothered me was there in the room, the Jehovah's Witnesses were already there. They'd heard about it. They were in her room. Her dad's deaf. Kimberly's deaf. They came to our church for many years but they're back and forth. Kimberly likes to go where she gets attention, so she's gone to the Jehovah's Witness Church in recent days and attended that. And so I go into the hospital room, and there sat this young woman, sharp woman, they said constantly had been with her. It was a Jehovah's Witness. That bothered me. I mean, she's learned sign language. She's interpreting for her and sitting with her almost 24 hours. Finally, the father, who's grown up in a Baptist church, his sister from Alabama came to visit, and the sister came into the hospital room. She said, "Who is this woman that's sitting with her?" And the father said, "She's from the Jehovah's Witness Church." And the sister said, "She's out of here. She needs to be out of here. What are you got her send the? She needs to be out of here." And they sent her out. They forced her out, actually forced her to leave. She'd been there, and I was glad about that. But the sister said, "What's wrong with you? Why are you not continuing to be faithful in your church with the right doctrine? The ones that are teaching you from the Scripture, but I'm sharing with you, this is what's happening among deaf people." In Acts chapter 16, verse 10, Acts chapter 16, Paul, in the Scripture here, God has shown Paul through a vision from a man from Macedonia coming to cry out for help. Let's look in Acts chapter 16 together. In Acts chapter 16, verse 10, verse 9 and 10, and it says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, begged him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly, gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Before I open with a word of prayer, open the message, evangelism to our world, let's ask ourselves, do we have a heart vision for people? In the story here, Paul saw an actual vision, a man crying out for coming to help us. My wife and I have been in the ministry for 31 years. And there was a decision made, a time when we went before the Lord and said, "Lord, we want to constantly be faithful to you. We want to invest our lives in teaching young people, and training young people, and seeing their lives surrendered, seeing these young people gather a desire to serve you and share your gospel in fields across the world among deaf people." Because I'm telling you, the call among people is not like what it used to be. Our Father, we thank you for the Scripture verses. We thank you for the story given here of how you showed Paul in this vision, a man that came and called for help, and he went, and as a result, the gospel was shared. Lord, help us to ask ourselves about our vision. How can we be a help in sharing the gospel to people, to deaf people, reaching them? Lord, help us as we train and grasp the opportunity to see lives surrendered, teaching and training young people to love you. I ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts, the hearts of pastors and missionaries here this morning about the need to have a heart vision for people, for souls. Bless this camp meeting in a special way in your name. Amen. Right now, as we look at our country, America, and look at the lives of our young people, as he just said, it's not the same as it was years ago, even 20 years ago. I look at our world. I look at the Muslim influence coming in right now, and it is a fast-growing influence. It is just hitting nations around the world like never before. Nation after nation is becoming Muslim, are letting Muslims in to have outreach among their people. understand our young people all over the world and in the U.S., pornography is such a heavy thing. I don't think we as pastors have taken hold of how our teenagers are getting a hold of this pornography issue. It is an issue like I've never seen in my life. I graduated from Tennessee Temple, began preaching in evangelism, sharing the gospel, and now I've come to a place in my ministry where it's hard to use people because of this issue. In our Bible classes, the Bible class that I teach, I had 18 high school students in my Bible class. And my heart's desire for those 18 young people in that Bible class is they would get hold of a vision for people, a heart vision for people. So I teach them from the Word of God. One boy met me in confidentiality and said, I have a problem with pornography. And boy, that hit me. I thought, he's been in our school for year after year. I have a problem with pornography. So I had to take him aside and I have to explain to him and go to the scripture with him and show him in the Word of God. It takes a teaching and it takes, because there's a lot of counseling involved with that kind of habitual thing, and explaining to him pornography is wrong. But see, it gets into an area of your mind and begins to affect your mind. And he's losing his opportunity for ministry. The point I'm making is, as we look across our country, thank God for your pastor. Thank God you have a Christian school outside here. Thank God for your buildings and the Christian school and the program. Thank God for the pastor that preached last night, your vision for camp and winning young people. But what I'm trying to share with you this morning is, we live among adults with hard hearts, and many times we think they're not going to serve, but we still have our young people, our children, our teenagers, and what an opportunity we have to see them saved and raise them in the right way. You'd be surprised what you could do with a teenage life. Teenagers. How many of you were saved as a teenager? Could you stand up? If you were saved between 13 and 18 years old at a camp meeting or in your church, will you stand up? 13, 18 years old, you were saved as a teenager. And you're here this morning saved as a teenager. Any others saved as teenagers, 13 to 18 years old, that's when you were saved. Okay, you can be seated. Who are those of you that were saved as children, 13 and younger? You were saved as a child. Would you stand? Look at that crowd. Look how many. Wow, be seated. After you graduated from high school, from 18 years old and up, you were saved as an adult. Interesting numbers, thank you. As I travel in my ministry, as I travel, I realize that we see a lot of children and teenagers saved. Right now in our ministry, at Harvest Deaf Ministry, we are focusing on the lives of our young people and our teenagers. We are focusing and ministering and bringing them up. Do you know why? Because we know that the Lord's vision is that of church planting. And we've got to plant churches around our country. We want deaf churches planted around our country. So we're focusing and training our young people in that area. Another interesting thing, another example, a young woman from Romania, a young girl from Romania. Understand that in Romania, the deaf, my husband, my wife and I flew at one time to Romania. I preached a crusade there among deaf people. And we had 32 deaf people saved in just a week, in just a few days. We came back to America and began to pray for the need in Romania. There's a need to reach deaf people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I preached, you know, when I preached there in Romania, or when I came back, a lot of people said, oh, I don't know if I could handle that. Working with the deaf in Romania, that sounds a little bit rough. I'm not interested in that. And you sit and you share the need here in America, and a lot of people are just not interested. They've got their job, they're stable, and that's what they want. 15 years later, we've started the college. We've been praying for 15 years. We've been sharing the burden in our hearts for Romania. And God, the burden that He's given us about a deaf person saying, come over to Romania and help us. But here in America, we've had nobody surrender. 5 years ago, through the internet, a girl, 18 years old, sent us a letter and said, "You have a deaf Bible college. I would like to come and learn sign language in a better way and how to work with deaf people." And so she came in. She's actually hearing. She came into our school, didn't know any sign language. She came in to the college, and she was scared to death. She was shy, came into a foreign country, didn't know our English, and then didn't know any sign language, if you could imagine. And Ruth and some of our students just took her. I mean, they pushed her. "Come on, you could sign. Come on, you could learn it." And they encouraged her and pushed her, and she rooted herself with our deaf people. And her fear got less and less as we pushed her and encouraged her, and she began to learn sign language. And you know what? This girl from Romania stayed at our college. She stayed with us for 5 years. And she got to learn the sign language. She learned how to work with deaf people. She could interpret and got motivated about the ministry in Romania. She went from Harvest Baptist Church for the Deaf. We recently sent her, commissioned her back to Romania. And she is on fire for the Lord. She's excited. She is motivated. Her heart is for that of deaf children and reaching deaf children in Romania. I praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord that she's going. She's starting a deaf ministry. She's starting a deaf school. Let me share something with you. A lot of you say, "Well, what is your point? And what is your point in the verses about come help us?" Understand that you and I have got to come to the place of realizing that all over people need help with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't go. We all can't go to those countries, but what can we do? If we're teaching Sunday school, we need to push it. If we are in the Awana programs or teaching our children's programs, we've got to push ministry to other reaching people. We've got to teach our young people through Sunday school in every area of our church that there are people that need to hear the gospel. You and I have got to take on the responsibility about causing our children and teenagers to think about what the Lord has for them and burdening their heart for other people. The Lord wants us to share the gospel. We've got to constantly be bringing it before our young people and getting them out there on the field. We go into church after church with our young people, and they don't have the flags up like this church. There's no vision in churches all over America. Praise the Lord that you're reaching these countries, but there are deaf people in them that never heard the gospel. These people that are singing, "I can't hear any of this music. I don't hear any of it. I can imitate them. I watch them. I watch this guy back here, this him. And then here's Becky." And you're the guy with the mustache. And mom and dad are over here. They have all these different color guitars. I don't know what they're all about. They look different. I guess they all make different sounds, different shapes, different sounds. I have never heard that. But I love to watch them. I like to watch their expressions. Everybody. And this is mom here, and she's real. And that little girl last night, she was so cute. Did you see her? She looked everywhere and just sang when she wasn't supposed to sing and did all this. And she was so cute. And boy, she got all amens and everything. Wonderful personality. All I can do is count on seeing the facial expressions for the personality. I don't hear any of this. But I will tell you that one day, I don't hear what your group sings. But one day,
amen.
And one day, they're going to the group that's singing up here is going to be quiet, and our deaf choir is going to sing with their voices in heaven. So I'm trying to get you to imagine with me what it's like not to hear. My wife has talked to me for 28 years. I have not heard her voice. She talks a lot. I don't hear her voice. In heaven, she's going to have to be quiet, and I'm going to be able to talk for a while. So I don't hear all those things that you hear during a day. I watched the woman last night playing the organ. I like to watch. Don't hear it, but we like to watch. We like to hear the sounds. I mean, we like to watch. You like to hear the sounds. In heaven, I will say, can I play the organ for just a while? And so that's it. Heaven is an exciting place for us, for deaf people. My parents are hearing. I've never heard them. I was saved as a boy at 16 years old and surrendered my life to preach to deaf people. And I, up until 16, I felt sorry for myself. I'm handicapped. I can't hear anything. I grumbled and complained. But I had to learn to stop and just get into ministry. I recently got a phone. Let me just show you my phone. I've never used the phone. Hearing people, you get on the phone, you just talk all the time on the phone. I always look at you, but we've got these new phones now we can type on. I am so excited that I finally can communicate with other people through my phone. I've never done that until recently. I thank God for technology when it comes to stuff like this, because I've not talked on the phone for years. I have a deaf boy in Peru, a missionary, a graduate from our school that's sick. I talk to him all the way in Peru. I thank God for that. You have to realize, as a deaf man, being over 50 years old, I've never been able to contact my wife when I'm on the road. I have to ask other people to call and tell my wife how much I love her and all this stuff. I have to tell the interpreter, can you call for me? And the interpreter calls for me, and I'll say, tell them what I'm saying. And they're awkward. I mean, that's awkward. How can I say, I love you, honey. The interpreter's like, I don't want to say I love you, honey, to your wife. It's hard. You have to go through an interpreter all the time. Reggie said he loves you. He loves you. I said, I didn't say that way. I said, I love you, honey. I want you, and I want to do it with my voice. But now, at least I can text it to her. Amen. And I'm excited about that. All that's to say that, see, we constantly think that deaf people have missed so much opportunity here on earth. If they've missed all the sounds, they're also missing Jesus Christ. And see, the only way we can share with them the gospel is on our hands. The vision here, Paul, he just went to sleep a normal night, and a vision came to him of a man from Macedonia appearing to him. And he took that vision as God calling him. Paul didn't plan to go to Macedonia. He'd made his decision. He was organized. He had his path set. But when he saw that vision come over and help us, it says in verse 10, remember what it said in verse 10? It says, and I want you to look with me. Let's read it again in verse 10. It says, and after he had seen the vision, immediately. See that word immediately? We endeavored. God speaks to your heart, immediately get involved with what he speaks to your heart about. Paul didn't say, well, I saw it and it was immediate. He said, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Look with me in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among people. Verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Verse 37, then he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And I won't tarry, I will close. But along with those scripture verses, let me give you a little illustration. Pastor before spoke to us about Akeen. Akeen's from Nepal. Akeen's family are Hindu. I mean, they worship idols. I mean, his mom and dad are heavily, of course, being raised in that country. Akeen went to different churches just where they'd have sign language. And I thank God for the internet because he found us on the internet and he didn't know what we were all about, but he made contact with us. I knew he didn't know our doctrine. I knew that. But the Lord said, you take him into the college anyway. I told my assistant, I told the vice president of the college and the board and the staff, I said, Akeen's going to come and he's going to be messed up in doctrine. He's not going to know anything. He doesn't have that background in Nepal. Let's take grasp of this. Let's let him in. Let's take him in even as a Hindu. So we took him. We brought him here.
Amen.
Akeen flew in. And Akeen showed me his Bible from India. He had a Bible, big old thick thing. His Hindu Bible. And he didn't understand any of salvation, nothing about salvation. He didn't even know what we were talking about. He didn't know what Baptist was. Never heard that before, so we thought, okay, great. What an opportunity. And we began teaching him from the Word of God, Jesus Christ. And we emphasize what it says here in the Scripture, right in the Scripture it says, teaching. And so we emphasize teaching again and again, and you know what? How long was it till you were saved, Akeen? Akeen got to us, we explained the gospel, 3 months later he understood it, came to an understanding, got saved, and then was baptized. Let me tell you, Keen, this was an exciting decision in his life when he got baptized. He was so excited and so motivated. And he began working in the ministry. He's been with us for 3 years, and he wants to go back to Nepal and do what we're doing here. Let me share something. The whole point in that is, you know, I look at all these nations, and we as pastors do that, and we say we just can't get to them all. We can't get to Japan, and we can't reach the people of all these countries, and I can't reach all these deaf people. But then, Michael, come here for a minute. Michael, how long have you been saved? He was saved when he was 21 years old, 5 years ago. So then I say, God, give me a young person, and I teach them and train them. We got to disciple them. We've got to work with them. And then he gets discipled, and then he disciples Akeen when Akeen comes. But we've got to take time to teach and disciple. Of course, I'm pastor. I'm busy. I've got things to do. But listen, it's got to be time discipling. And now, Michael, if you'll disciple Akeen. So he's been trained, and he disciples Akeen, and he teaches Akeen, and he's motivated, and he's excited, and he wants to learn more, and that's the place he is right now. And now he'll go to Nepal, ready to reach people there. You graduate next year. He said he graduates next year, and he and his wife will be off to Nepal to go back to their country to reach Hindu people. Let me tell you, the interesting thing is, he goes back, he's going to start a church there. And he's going to start a school there.
Amen.
And he'll start a Bible college there. And the gospel that we are doing here never stops. It keeps going.
Right.
But we've got to start, and we've got to work with this one person. We've got to get hold of a young person. and passing that down from person to person. Do I have a little, can these little children come up here? Can y'all just come up here and help me with this? Do you mind coming up here, you three, for just a minute? Can I use you for just a minute? Can y'all come up here? Okay, you guys stand down there. And see, I find it interesting. Now, of course, these aren't deaf children. Let's just say these guys are from Nepal. And these are people from Nepal, and he starts a Christian school in Nepal, and he begins teaching these kids in the Christian school. And their heart is touched. Maybe her heart will be touched. I'm going to turn you around here, okay? You go over here. And then God calls her. Do you feel God calling you to any specific place? You don't know? Okay, that's fine. All right. But maybe we hope the Lord works on your heart and calls you someplace. Maybe he'll call you to a part of India, and maybe God will call this little one. Do you feel like God calling you to any specific place? Okay. That's fine too. Well, you surrender to the Lord and God will lead you. And God might call her to Japan. You feel God calling you to any specific place? Maybe preach? Maybe you're going to be a preacher? He said, okay. All right. All right. And God may call him to Russia.
Amen.
And so you think about these countries represented with the gospel, but it starts with that one person
right.
In our ministry. And how it multiplies when we teach people to do what Jesus did. Jesus started with those 12 disciples. And from those 12 disciples, look what's happened. And look at the way the gospel's been spread. And our churches are a result of that. But we've got to keep that vision, that heart vision going. Are you willing to teach and train your people, your young people? Are you willing to take time to teach? And then he'll teach. You got to go teach your sister over there, okay? Okay, you teach. Here's a sign for teach. Teach, this is how you teach. Okay? Okay, you did a good job. Thank you, guys. Thank you for helping me. But from that little portion of Scripture and that vision that Paul had, will you pray about this? Will you pray? Will you pray for our ministry, Harvest Deaf Ministries? Will you pray for the heart vision God's given us to reach deaf people all around the world? We have missionaries now in Romania, in Jamaica, in Russia, in China, in Dominican Republic, in Peru, in Ukraine. And guess what? Churches are being started all over the world. I'm excited about it.
Amen.
Let's pray as pastors about what God wants us to do with our people, our young people, our children. Let's constantly keep the Lord before them and see what God's going to do in their hearts. A heart vision to see our young people surrender their lives to the Lord. To see our young people reaching people for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much for your word, for the clarity of it. How clear you were to Paul when you showed him the vision and called him, speak to our hearts, give us heart vision for people. Help us to desire to train them and teach them so that the gospel is spread, to really focus on our teens and our young people. And keeping you before them, speak to the hearts of us as pastors and missionaries and leaders to focus on teaching and training our young people to seek you. Challenge us this morning. Challenge us about reaching others for you. And Lord, we've got to share the gospel. Thank you so much for this camp meeting and the enjoyment of hearing your word. In your name, amen. Pastor, thank you.